All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I think I understood that text better that I read earlier. They said they weren't a huge college football fan because of youth sports, I'm guessing.
Oh, like yeah. Growing up. That's what makes I was
sense.
Talking about.
That makes sense. Well, I mean, especially if you're playing the youth sports, you don't have the opportunity to be stuck
like,
in front of them.
I love you, son, but.
Wow, you're contemplating being a bad dad behind that. Very good. Somebody said weekend dance competitions, cheer mom. They got Saturday, Sunday competitions. Man,
all of the above.
All those. God bless you. God bless
those
all you
dance competitions
folks.
Go 7 a.m. till 7 p.m.
You're just in there, the in
worst.
Depth.
Yeah.
Just watching your baby shine bright like a diamond while also missing all the fun of the sports. And then on the YouTube page, they're giving me hell for saying I don't drink a lot, which I don't. I just, I think I can manage my liquor decently when I do. They said, I see, Brandon said, saving the drinking till our offensive line takes the field, I see. Yeah. Which, you know what?
Yeah.
Possibly fair.
Yeah.
I could see that. All right. Let's go around the NFL now as interesting weekend for football-associated things included. But the end of the weekend is where we got this latest piece of news. In fact, this morning is where we got it. Titans lose a quarterback for the season. Not one that I think that they care, imagine that they care too much about in Will Levis, who's having season-ending shoulder surgery. Or am I wrong there? Does this matter?
I think they care a little bit because
does this matter?
He's about all they got behind, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it matter, man. Huh? I don't think it matter. They got their first overall pick who was a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think it matter who the backup is.
Well, were they going to throw him into the fray immediately no matter what?
Cam Ward?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they seen enough of Will Levis, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was absolutely where it was going to have to be was just Will Levis.
Because I don't know.
Will Levis, Cam Ward, just getting the lion's share. In fact, when I thought of this, I was like, what are the potential downsides? And I was like, I guess if Cam Ward is hurt, because I don't know. Is there a Cam Ward performance that is so bad that makes you go, oh no, we need to turn this over to Will Levis, assuming that he was
there's always that. There's always that in the NFL. If it just starts going really, really bad, But I wouldn't anticipate that. But I think that's always on the table at some point. And you know, you look at them now; they have Tim Boyle.
Oh, good old Tim Boyle. He's still in the league. Huh? Yeah. Still cashing checks.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tim Boyle, man. Don't they have Brandon Allen on that depth chart as
they
well?
They do. They do.
Who, I mean, again, once we're getting to that point, we're just like, all right, it is what it is. But, no Will Levis, who, again, I don't know how much they wanted to be in that business to begin with. Mm-hmm. But I guess that does make it so that if the Cam Ward thing doesn't go 100% as expected, or more importantly, I think
I guess the good thing is he was defense. A Texans killer last season. So
yeah, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I see
how much
why
of that is Will Levis, and how much that was just the secondary line.
I see it. Why everybody making this a big deal? Because I was wondering. I'm like, why everybody? He ain't playing over Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I see why.
Mm-hmm. Some other things that are happening. Something that happened yesterday. A tight end, a wild tight end, appears as the Seattle Seahawks release Noah Fant. A tight end that came over, I think, in the trade that they said that they did, sending Russell Wilson to the Broncos. That was that whole deal. He ended up over there. I mean, a decent tight end, I think. But immediately, I saw on social media,
of course,
the
did.
Thing that always happens when any player become of any level of note becomes available, which is. Does he fit with our team?
Let's get him.
Lopez, I take you to our Lopez, does he fit with our team reporter. How do you feel on Noah Fant, tight end?
I don't know how I feel about this, simply because at this point, we don't know anything about what the tight end situation is going to look like. So I don't hate to be that guy, but hell, if they want him, I'm good with it. But I don't think they want him.
Do you feel like it is a need at tight end for the Texans, though?
Sure, yeah, well, absolutely there's a need at tight end until we see otherwise. We know Dalton Schultz has got to play better in this system. We know that Cade Stover is counted upon, but we don't know how they're going to be, if it's going to play out that way.
Yeah. What's interesting is I immediately went to the place where I go, I don't know that Noah Fant fills what you're kind of looking for, per se. And I think we're hoping for development of Cade Stover. I do also immediately think of the depth that you have there at tight end still leaves room for the possibility of the Brevin Jordan, Brevin Jordan season, which I don't know. I feel like I have not talked about a lot. However, it still feels very possible in my mind. I know that he's not your pass blocker in the ways, or, you know, blocker, but the pass catching has always been very, very intriguing to me. So, like, the possible upside of him being a better option for Dalton Schultz, or just Dalton Schultz being better,
just Dalton Schultz being better, I think it's still on there for you.
Yeah. So I don't know that I necessarily look towards the Noah Fant addition of just adding another guy to that room, especially with those guys that you feel strongly about. But the watchword is competition. Like, if you could get him for a really cheap deal, I know that part of the reason why the Seahawks are release him is that they get off, I think, some like $9 million of money for him. So, like, they do that right then. And the what seemed to be the impetus was Elijah Arroyo out of Miami, tight end out of Miami, that I liked quite a bit, kind of plays almost wide receiver like Elijah Arroyo. He finally got his deal signed. I think he was one of the second rounders that got his, or I might have that wrong, but he's one of the guys that finally gets his rookie deal signed. So he will be in camp. I think that when they had that solidified, that gave them a little bit of leeway, the Seahawks, to go, all right, I think we can move on.
But he will get a job.
He's good enough that somebody needs to have him on their roster. I just don't know. Is that a guy that you feel like you need to put on this team into that competition?
I don't know. I want to see what these guys look like, to be honest.
But I guess we will watch that space.
Yeah.
To be honest, some other things that are happening around the NFL, as we kept tracking the guys who were getting their deals. Did I mention that Tyler Shuck did indeed get his
fully guaranteed
deal at 40? Mm-hmm. That one came through. But speaking of deals and the pass rusher market that I imagine we are watching to some degree, but also not watching, because Will Anderson Jr. exists at the high end of it.
Mm-hmm.
George Karlaftis, the pass rusher, for the Kansas City Chiefs, he gets his contract. It is four years?
88, but
ultimately
guaranteed.
It's like $93 million, and $62 million is guaranteed, including the old money that he had on his deal. He ends up being a top 10 highest paid edge rusher, but he's not at the very top fringe of it. And I don't know that he should be, but he's a very good pass rusher. What were your takeaways from saying that the Kansas City Chiefs get another guy inked on the deal?
Well, outside of the Chiefs, yet again, proving that they can get things done. Outside of that, Karlaftis made it, what you just mentioned, he made it into the top 10 of highest paid. I think he had 8 sacks last year. Will Anderson's paying attention. There's no question about that. But he got 62 guaranteed into the top 10 with 8 sacks. I mean, it's going to be expensive, man.
It is, but yeah. I mean, that's going to be at the top end. I think he's looking less at George Karlaftis in my mind. I think he's looking up there at Frisco, Texas, where the Dallas Cowboys practice. I think their training camp is actually out in California, where it was reported this weekend Micah Parsons will indeed attend a training camp. We haven't talked a lot about the Micah Parsons standoff of sort, because it feels like it's generally in the MO of the Dallas Cowboys to not pay their guys until it's way, way late, and then maybe pay too much, considering that they probably would have been able to get something done if they had done something earlier.
Yeah.
But this is the latest iteration of that, falling in line with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Here is Micah Parsons, a dude who they're going to pay.
They have to.
They just have to pay.
Yeah.
But he is, I mean, not that he's been in a holdout type situation, because that's obviously not been the opportunity, but there's been a lot of conversation, and clearly there's the adversarial feel of, is he going to get more versus what the Cowboys want to give him? They're going to pay him. It's just how much. And I think with the Cowboys' MO and with the way this is breaking out, although he's not going to hold out, I do wonder if that's going to make them more amenable to getting a reasonable deal. I think that they might push the number above where we have been with Myles Garrett, now with T.J. Watt, to where that is the thing that I think Will Anderson Jr. will be watching of, you know, what does the number look like for the top edge rushers in the league?
And just on Micah, what I interpret this as is they're very, very close on a deal. Him reporting, oftentimes a guy will report like, okay, it looks like, you know, we have a number, we have the parameters of it. I'm going to report. We're not going to make any big stink about things. I think we're going to hear something on him very soon.
I could see that. Yeah. I could also see it because Micah Parsons seems to be a dude who falls a little bit more in line with the organizational thought process and philosophy more than maybe some of the other guys that have held out historically, that have maybe not been guys that fall in line as much. Although maybe that doesn't fit with the quarterback who, you know, has been that kind of guy as well. But yeah, that's definitely going to be a place to watch for Will Anderson Jr. and for the Texans. Not that, again, I was listening to a podcast that was breaking down some of, especially the second round picks, like those guys and the you know, seeming collective action that seemed to be happening with second rounders not not signing unless they could push, it seemed like, the guaranteed money higher than what the slot had been previous years. And in talking about that, they also acknowledged Nick Caserio's kind of, for lack of a better term, wanton behavior when it came to giving contract. It made me just come back to the idea of Will Anderson Jr. has nothing to worry about. Like, that deal is not going to be tough to get hammered out, is it?
No, I mean, they've already showed, they've already laid out the path and what the number's going to be. And obviously, if he gets, you know, has a very good season, it's going to be almost automatic. And Nick Caserio is very good at getting these deals done quickly.
Yes, he is. He makes sure to get those things done. And so I'm excited. It's just now we see what the number is, especially because you're going to have to find a way to get all these fit in together.
Yeah.
I want to get this here because, well, I guess I'll let me throw this in here real quick before I get to this other one. So President Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. He's
switching the music.
He's taken to social media. And this very much fits with the NFL. I'm not trying to go anywhere particularly wild, but on social media, he has seemed to kind of take aim at the Cleveland Guardians in baseball, but then specifically the Washington Commanders, kind of trying to get them to change the name. And if it was just that, it would be one thing. He seemed to put the pressure on the Commanders, Josh Harris, by also making the claim that he will not help get a deal done on the new stadium that they're trying to build if they do not.
Yeah.
And I think that is the part that makes this real interesting. I know that without getting too far into the weeds on politics, Donald Trump can use things like this at times for political means, for, you know, just draw attention to this thing, maybe against attention to somewhere else that he wants. I don't know. Or maybe it's just like a culture war thing, whatever you want to term that. I'm not digging into that. But how real do you think is this threat when it comes to the Commanders, who were actively, you know, moving and getting the ball rolling towards getting a stadium back at the JFK site? To get a new stadium away from what had been, like, widely panned, the stadium that they currently were in previously, FedEx Field. What is it now? I can't even remember. This could put a wrench in because D.C. is a very particular place that requires federal oversight. It's not in a state and, you know, pursuant or, like, beholden to those regulations in the same way.
Well, I don't know. I'm not pretending to know on this topic. But as much as you just said, it's sort of its own thing, and there is federal
influence and jurisdiction,
Et cetera. Can he? Isn't it more about the owners and the league, you know, in terms of stadiums and approvals and all that?
I think that portion of it, but funding, I think, ends up being a tough thing.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
It seems like the team, the Commanders, and the mayor have a really good rapport as of right now.
Yeah.
But all the funding for the District of Columbia comes through the federal government, and obviously Donald Trump is at the top of that. I'm going to be watching that space because that might be very interesting to see, like, how that meddles. And I'm sure the NFL, this is the bigger part that I wanted to get to. I'm sure the NFL is like, damn it, we're here again. Because I thought the NFL really, really rued the situation where last time Donald Trump was in office, he stuck his nose into the NFL's dealings when it came to the Colin Kaepernick thing. And then that became a whole situation for the NFL where they had this push and pull that they never really want. I don't know if this will rise to the same level because this is more
new. I mean, when you mention the name, it might.
The team name portion of
it. Yeah. It might. And again, I don't know. I mean, it's just uncomfortable for everybody. And I don't think anybody wants it to be uncomfortable like that.
Yeah. I wonder if this ends up being, and again, trying to stay very surface level on this political portion of it. I wonder if this ends up being like a passing fascination or if this ends up being a sticking point, because that could really hamper a Washington team that had really done a good job trying to turn the page. But the only thing that I could point to of them maybe not playing big league ball is not signing up Terry McLaurin, which I think you also still have a reasonable expectation of the way that wide receivers fall off the cliff at like 30. It seems like nowadays as a 29-year-old. You can maybe see that this is a level of mess that I think the Commanders really did not want.
Yeah, like I said, they don't need it to be uncomfortable. They don't want this in their lives right now, but here it is.
And then finally, before we move on here, Tyler Smith, the guard for the Dallas Cowboys, said that the goal for the team and that he has this year is a championship. Is that fair or not for a team like the Dallas Cowboys? It was not all that good last year, a new head coach and all that. However, they are going into a season like any other football team.
Yeah, look, I would, if it's Cowboys related and you kind of do an eye roll about it, but isn't every player saying that?
Yeah.
Every player in, on every team saying the same. I have no problem with this. I think this is fine.
And then, because I know you love it, the top 100 player of the day.
All right, moving on. What do we got next?
You get three of them. You get three of them this time.
What do we
71
get?
Is Detroit safety Kirby Joseph.
Cool.
Number 70 was Washington Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu. Very good linebacker.
Yeah.
And then number 69, nice, Philadelphia offensive lineman Jordan Mailata.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Cool.
React.
No Texans still.
I was telling Reggie before the show, Figgy, I am so bothered by this. Not like on a personal level, but like as we've talked about, because like it's so stupid, you know, to get people to talk about this top 100 list when you're doing one a day. I'm more bothered by it from an NFL perspective. Like, how dumb was the person that said this is a good marketing strategy? This is a good way to get people talking about our list, releasing one name a day.
It seemed like they trying to stretch this out so it can last into the regular season.
And what does that prove? No one's going to talk about this list, which we're talking about all the other lists.
Jordan Mailata, 69.
There we go.
No Texans still.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. All right.
What does it mean, Reggie?
Coming up next. that's around the NFL here in the loop. Coming up next. It's kind of NFL related, but we get even further down on the sports business thing. But we got some juicy details about the former NFLPA director and what caused him to resign, and more drama that's happening with labor disputes. We'll talk about it next.